So, my name is Laurent Godard. I will present you an introduction to OpenOffice.org scripting features. So I will first present the context. What is scripting? So what do we call scripting? Why do we need scripting? What tools does OpenOffice.org provide to do some scripting? And I'll show you some cases and some useful tools on way to do some scripts in OpenOffice.org using BASIC and Python. So, scripting offers the possibility to pilot OpenOffice.org for our own needs. If in business, enterprise, you may need to adapt for end users the layout or the functionalities of OpenOffice.org. So you need to be able to play with the elements, with the documents of you are editing. So you can access the API, I will define this, or features by code to manipulate documents. And this can be done from a code inside OpenOffice.org, which is macros, and from outside, providing a collection line that launches OpenOffice.org in listen mode. So the first line is a command line that defines that you are listening on your machine on the 2002 port. Or if you don't want to launch OpenOffice.org every time using in this listen mode, you can alter or modify the setup.xau file with these parameters. So, as you can see, OpenOffice.org can communicate through hosts and ports. So you may pilot it from your local host, from your own machine, but also even through a network. And you can develop some components that are deployed at OpenOffice.org level, which are called add-ons. And once a connection is initiated, when you decide how to discuss with OpenOffice.org, the scripting is almost the same, and you are using the same API. So you can play with OpenOffice.org in many languages, such as Java, C++, all common languages like VB or Delphi, .NET. And this language uses OpenOffice.org API via Unobrazis, so that many terms are defined. So you have the main functionalities of OpenOffice.org, the core, that gives an API that say we have this functionality. And then there is a layer, which is called UNO, with bridges to each language that let you communicate to directly to the OpenOffice.org functionality. So API stands for Application Programming Interface. It describes how to access the objects, properties, and methods of OpenOffice.org. You do not need to know the source code, but only the API and how to use it. This is described in the SDK Software Development Kit, which is a toolbox dedicated to developers to use OpenOffice.org and build their programs. And you know stands for Universal Network Object. That is a description of objects that allow to communicate with API, no matter the localization. And the bridge for different languages allow to use in heterogeneous environments. So OpenOffice.org provides some tools. I will now speak about internal integrated tools, so doing macros. The IDE, the Integrated Development Environment, and an OpenOffice.org dialogue builder. Perhaps started too early. So the SDK, what does it contain, how to use it, and there are helpers for using all the objects. So what are the coding facilities introduced in scripting languages, and what are useful developments provided by community? So macro and internal scripts are organized within a hierarchical view. You have the library first. Your library there that regroups some modules, which each module has some code or function inside. And there are containers like my macros that I'll explain later. So you can, I'm really sorry for the French buttons, but you can execute a macro, close, assign, edit, suppress, or manipulate all your code or your structure. The BADIC IDE provides some nice tools such like syntax coloration recognition, step-by-step debugging tool, a call stack where you can see all the call methods and functions and the parameters, the values that have been used, and variable values and the explorer window where you can check at the beginning time what is the value of your of what you are checking. The BADIC IDE provides also a powerful dialogue builder which lets you build your own windows with a lot of tools available. So you have checkbox, options buttons, progress bar, lists, images, and spin buttons. So very, very rich dialogue environment. And for each element, you have properties there that you can set up, and then an event binding there where you will be able to bind your functions, the functions you will write. So here are some examples that are used. So behind it is some list with multiple selections, and in front it's something that is being studied by Paolo Mantovani that provided the new like typing of OpenOffice.org to a way of wizards with a list at left describing different steps, all of this synchronized with the navigation and so on. So OpenOffice.org allows to do macros or internal scripting not also with BASIC, but also with JavaScript, Binchill. So they provide some way for typing your code, but nothing for Python. So you will have to use your own IDE and import the code into OpenOffice.org. So for internal scripting, this need to be enhanced. We need, it will be a call, something for editing a Python code inside OpenOffice.org. So as an example, here is a first macro. So in BASIC, you start by declaring a subroutine with the name hello message, then ask input box a sentence and have a response, and then concatenate two strings to display them. For people who have done VBA or BASIC VB, that's the same. This example has no OpenOffice.org interaction, but it's a BASIC language that everyone can know. But we need to access OpenOffice.org objects to create our business helpers. So what are these objects, where to find them? So the SDK provides many documentation on the API and many tools. Not all are usable for BASIC. And you have also the developer's guide, which is a rich documentation that I'll show or tell you later. You can browse related OpenOffice.org projects, the extensions, API, UDK framework projects, the mailing list. Each of these projects have mailing lists that are responsive, so feel free to come as a new guy, say, I want to do this, please put me on the right way, and there will be someone that will help you. The SDK is a deployable child that you can find on API OpenOffice.org website. It's around 30 megabytes to download, and once installed, around 100. It's in English, and it provides the ideal reference, which describes all the objects and their relations. The developer's guide, examples, Open document and OpenOffice.org 1 file specification, and building tools of for Java and C++, which are not needed for BASIC. So the ideal reference is gather synthetic information and tells you for a given service or object, it enumerates all the properties and methods you will be able to use. What are their parameters? What are the return values? There are some command lines on each property and methods. Generally, one line, two lines that explain what this method is going to do. You have an hyperlink navigation that allow to explore the return types. Some methods say, I will give you an object or I will give you a response like this. But this is another thing. So you have to go deeper and understand what it is. So the HTML of the IDL lets you to explore all of this. There are indexes and navigation pages that give you a general overview of all the IDL. So like alphabetical, you remember you used one time a method that started with that, but I don't remember exactly how to write it. So with alphabetical, you can find your method of properties. Also the hyperlink navigation, and something very important, that hyperlink with the idea, so a list or with few information, to the developer's guide, which is a big documentation with details, which is written as legal read sentences describing step by step how to do things and so on. And each time it can be done, it is pointed to the right chapter and back when an API is used in the developer's guide, and hyperlink is pointing to the ideal reference to have all the structure in an easy way. So here is an example. It is an HTML document. You have all here a module on all the services that you will be able to have, the description, and by here are hyperlinks. So by you have the index, the if possible, the dev guide, and all things that can be found in such documentation. So if you go deeper in the object, you will be able to have properties or enumerations or constants and so on. So the developer's guide is a full documentation on UNO on API. It's something that's really, really big, and it's more than 1,000 pages of PDF. It's very well documented, very well written in English, and a lot of examples in Java, but you can, with the help of the IDL, even if you don't know Java, you can manage to understand what objects, how to use the objects. And the cross-references here, you can, well, it's not readable, but you can see here, hyperlinks, all of these are cross-references to the IDL. And you have some diagrams for the UML representation. So, BASIC is targets developers that do not have very high-level skills and do not want to go in C++ or C++ or Java. So there are some coding simplifications to let you code more faster. Then you have two root objects, which are start-this-stop is the container of OpenOffice that opens without any document, the gray panel with only the toolbar. And from this, you can go and open documents and start playing with them. On the other hand, this component stands for the current document or component that is open. So if you launch a macro, that there is a document in front, which has the focus, this component will represent your writer document. And then you will be able to access the object of this writer document. So the text properties, the tables, the graphics, enumerate them, manipulate them, and so on. Instead of implementing all the declarations and the creations from scratch of the object. You have some helpers. OpenOffice.org uses URL, so every time you will have to pass some file path or file names to OpenOffice.org, play with convert to URL or convert from URL when you have a response. This will really be helpful. There are a lot of, as the API comes from, is used, if it is used in Java, it comes from Java, there are set strings, get strings, for example, set. So in BASIC, all of this, the set and the get are cut. You only have a string property, and this property, if there is a get string, can be written, and if there is a set string, or set my property, you will be able to write in writing one. all collections that have an access by get by index, you will find in the API, are translated to arrays in BASIC. So get by index, my object, get by index, the one is my object, equal to my object, the one. This is very, very helpful. You don't have to type the get by index each time. It's clearer when reading your code. One thing I didn't mention here is that, like all BASIC, it is not case dependent. So you can write, there are some exceptions, but you can write with minuscule or majuscule. There's no problem. Except structures and named constants. It's a particular case of the binding. There you will have to respect the capitals. Structures are some things like that describe that are things that are more that describes how to that have other properties inside that regroups some different properties. And you have introspections tools that let you explore by when running your object, you can call its DBG method and DBG properties, and it will give a list of all the objects and all the methods and properties it can show or that can be used with this object. So using this introspection tool, one can build some helpers. This is X-Ray, done by Bernard Marcelli, which is a wonderful tool for discovering the API. Once in BASIC, you start with this component, but what is after this component? I want to put some text on my document. And so you invoke X-Ray tool, passing him this component as argument, and using introspection, X-Ray will tell you all the properties, all the methods you can have, all the services can be sorted. Here it tells you that's a string, that's list of strings. You can bind it to the SDK, so you have here still families, but okay, still families, what it is? So you can ask the ideal reference directly from your code to see the documentation on still families. Then once you click there, a browser will open, pointing you directly on where get still families is explained, and then you will see that it returns some name. You will be able to follow the still families module and go directly to the developer's guide. So inside your macro editor, when writing your macro, you are doing okay, I have now my document. What can I do? And you explore using X-Ray, the API. That's a very, very powerful tool by reading in English only the name of the properties and the methods. That's a very powerful tool to make things when you just discover the API. So here is, I give you a small example using the API. I won't describe all the tricks. This is a classic converter of a document to PDF. So first, a launching macro. I'll explain because later we will call directly this. So this document to PDF, some arguments. No need to type, to give the types. We can use variants. If you are, if you like to use the type for your variables, saying that this is a string, this you can write as usual in BASIC, source as string, destination as string, but you can legally use variants. Defining a source URL, so from your source file convert to URL. We start desktops. If you do an X-ray with start desktop, you will find a method called load component from URL. Going to the IDL within X-ray, you will find the description of the parameters. So this, once the code is run, this opens your documents named in source. Then we define destination URL, some arguments, so a property value, it's for name, that for name, filter name, and for value, writer PDF export. These are things that are defined in the developer's guide. And then store to URL the destinations with the arguments. And then close your initial document. So you have written a macro inside on your desktop, on your own OpenOffice.org. Now you have a colleague, friend, or a user that wants, that will have to use your macro. There are several ways to give them the macro. You can distribute them inside document, but they will not be integrated to OpenOffice.org. That's not very interesting, but if it's in a template, that can make sense. But you can have the, you can define it or use an add-in. So an add-in is a deployable set of code that contains information on how to integrate it to OpenOffice.org. This is in a standalone file, a compressed file that contains your code, your resources, some images or icons, and a configuration file in XML. You can edit by hand, and I will show you that there are tools that allow you to simplify this network. To note that there is a new file extension that is being defined for the coming releases for these add-ons. Probably, though, there will be an OXT extension instead of uno.pk. PKJ or .zip. This packaging on add-ons is described in chapter four of Developer's Guide. And see Paolo's Mantovani presentation of last year conference. He did a great, great presentation on add-on structures. So inside an add-on, there is a XCU file for XML configuration. Okay, it's an XML file that contains the configuration of your add-on integration. So the toolbar on menus that define the icon resource, where to find them inside the zip file. Titles of your menus, of your tip help, and translations, and they associate the code to be launched to each elements. So the elements are toolbars, main menu, and submenus, the menu tools add-ons, which is referenced especially for this, and the help menu. There is an add-on tool that will create for you this add-on. Also the XML file, but packaging all the stuff you need. This has also been done by Bernard Marcelli. So here are, this is only a picture to show you that here you have some XML and these are steps for wizards that ask you, okay, my addon is for writer, and it has this name in French, then it will launch this macro. So in this library, in this module, in this code, I need an icon, so I specify some bitmap files that are stored, and then the when finished, it will zip this for you and give you a deployable file you can send to your user to be installed. So to deploy to the user your package, you can use a command line, which is in the openoffice.org program, and it's called UNOPKG, or use an interface inside openoffice.org, which is in tools package manager, and you can deploy a package at two levels. One, as an administrator, you can write inside the openoffice.org installation directory. There is a share submenu, and then a UNOPackages subdirectory, and a UNOPackages subdirectory. This is general for all the users of the installation of your PC. And on the other hand, you can just install the openoffice.org inside the openoffice.org user directory in user UNOPackages. So in openoffice.org, these are related as openoffice.org packages for the shared packages and my packages for the user package.
Could you get in the user directory, for example, as you told, has the same result as using a tools package manager?
I will show you. Here you have the question is, if I understand, is putting the addon file inside the directory, is it the same as deploying with the package manager? In fact, it is not sufficient only to copy it. You will have to use UNOPackage as command line. And using UNOPackage, you will have an option. You know, package. If you do that, provided that openoffice.org is shut down, only that will deploy the packages that are present in user UNOPackages. And doing this with minus S for share. So doing this will deploy the packages that are stored in the share UNOPackage directory. So here is a list where you can see that there's a lot of dirty things inside. So in my packages, a lot of packages that are deployed. So you can add some, you can deactivate some, remove, and so on. So it's a totally manager that so you do not have to go with the command line.
But if you use the GUI, then has it been inserted shared or not?
It depends.
It's for the user.
If you use the GUI, if you add in my packages,
there you can choose. Yeah.
If you add in my packages, it will be treated as installed as a user package, so in the user environment. If you use package openoffice.org, it will be installed at share level, but I do not advise to do it because this means that you will have to have writing access to your openoffice.org installation. So for launching openoffice.org, as administrator or root for a Linux user. So if you want to do some administrative tasks, perhaps prefer the command line tool. That's, but I think it's more secure and better. So macros can be accessed by launching a command line. So that can be pretty useful. For example, if you remember the document to PDF macro we wrote, we can only, by adding this macro stored in my library, my module, invoke a command line, xoffice, macro, which macro, the two parameters, and then the macro will be launched. xoffice will, OpenOffice will open, launch the macro, so source.odt will open, and will be saved as result.pdf. That's a question that is sometimes asked, is how can I, with openfis.org, transform to PDF without having to opening openfis.org. So this is a way. But it does the job. It opens OpenOffice.
Yes, but it doesn't close
OpenOffice.
OpenOffice is stay.
If you perhaps in the code I have done there, I close the, you probably right, close the source document, but you can dispose dispose the desktop, and then it will be closed. So it's only a line.
But you have to write
down
the macro.
Yeah.
And you see it appear.
Yes, but you can open it. Yes, it, like roughly like this, it will appear and work and disturb you while working. But if you open it in a headless mode, there's options of xoffice, headless and invisible. It will not disturb you. But there may be some problems with PDF export on some version when hidden, when documents are in hidden mode. So if you have some crashes, it is when doing some export while your documents are hidden, probably you hit this random bug that occurs from time to time, from version to version. If it's not in a version, you'll never see it. But if it's there, the 2.02 has it. The 2.02 does not add it. The 1.1.2 add it. So that's something that is be searched.
It's doing 2.0.
2.0?
2.0.
Okay.
Is this true? Because we are using 1.1.1.
Yeah. So we have the PDF file is not the same as the OpenOffice file. So the question is, this is true and 2.0. Regarding 2.0, it was the first version, so perhaps we will be able to ask me and I'll tell you. I have some old version here. But exporting to PDF, to PDF, you have to be careful because you have two, in the API, you have two things that can be confused, because that can confuse you. You have the store to URL and the store as URL. So we use store to URL because store as URL is I take my document, I save it as this format, and I use it within this format. So it becomes in the openoffice.org interface in this format. So as openoffice.org cannot edit PDF file, this will fail on PDF. You cannot send a PDF argument to a store as URL because OpenOffice.org cannot edit PDF file. So you have to use a store to UI. This is a classical question that is fundable easily on the list. So we spoke about macros, basic. For scripting, there are other languages, such as Python, with PyUno, which is the bridge to the API or to UNO from Python. So it can be Python can be used for macros, so for internal scripting, used for external and remote scripting, with a command line listening to ports and through a network, and deployable as add-ins. It has a code simplification similar to OpenOffice.org was, so you do not care about the get, the set. You have lists when there are some get by index, and so on. But it is, as Python is, case sensitive. It is object oriented, so you can create your own services. Basic does not allow you to create new OpenOffice.org objects, you know objects. But Python allows you to do this by overloading existing ones or creating totally new, but we won't cover this today. So it's, as a joke, it's simple as basic and powerful as Java. And once again, see Paolo Mantovani works on his website. He has three or four great examples on how using Python the right way in OpenOffice.org. So is here is the Hello World, which is taken from the scripts of the OpenOffice.org. The things you have here is X script context, is the root element, the same as you had in OpenOffice in OpenOffice Basic, such as start and stop on this component. Here is for start and stop, get the document, and then start retrieving the text, going to the end, and write some text at the end of the document. As we had a powerful tool as X-Ray in Basic, I wrote PyX-Ray. So it's a graphical user interface for exploring the objects using invocation, introspection, and so on. It's all written in PyUno using OpenOffice.org graphic toolkit. So it was some kind of proof of concept. That was the first try of PyUno. It can point the EZK offline, but also online. We'll be able to find at this URL. And it's under development for now a long time. I haven't had some feedback, so if people want to start with Python and explore my code and telling me this wrong, it's not work, I will be happy to improve it and release new versions. So here is how you can call it. So from a service manager, I don't explain this, but you end with a desktop, the same as star desktop, and you invoke the X-ray box, giving him a context and the object to explore. And it opens something like X-ray, but for Python. And you have almost the same thing as in X-Ray. Instead of here, I put a text to have directly the values of here is element is a list of string. I say it's read-only, and then I give all the value without having to explore again element names to know it. So Python can also be used for remotely driving OpenOffice.org. So opening OpenOffice in listen mode, so the command line, or as I told you at the first slide, modifying the setup.xau file as it is represented here. And this host and pop approach allow you to do remote scripting. For example, there is OpenOffice.org converter farm on an intranet code, which is based on XML RPC and is asynchronous and uses a well-known Python framework, Twisted. It is available, it's a GPL software, so you can go there and play with it. It is not only the framework uses OpenOffice.org by launching several instances on several machines, and it has queue, waiting queues and so on, but it is not only dedicated to file conversions. You can unplug the class that do the file conversion and plug something to do a mail merge, for example. Another use that can be done is using doctest for people doing Python. Doctest is a method to document and test and have unit tests on your code. So OpenOffice.org includes the Python 2.3.5. So the doctest file, doctest only comes with Python 2.4. So you have to copy the module in the OpenOffice.org Python library, and it will work. It's a hack, but this can be very usable, because when you have a function you define, here is that some command, the same code, the code commands you will have later, done in the Python prompt. So here, and then when doctest, here I open a calc document, and then I want to test if really it has opened a calc document. So I ask the document support service, which is an API, does it support Starship spreadsheet document? It is true. So here is how to write the doc test. Now I launch, it's a command line, Python doc test, this file as a text file, and the doc test will read this. Each time it will encounter a prompt, it will execute this, and if there is no blank line, here it is the response, it is waiting. So it will tell you at the end, I ran this and I encountered errors on this line and this line. In fact, it is a bug. Here you were intending to have a spreadsheet document, but here you wrote writer, so here you are false, but you are waiting true. So there's something, there's a bug in your code. That allow to debug and have more robust codes. So all of this can be done by piloting OpenOffice.org remotely. So, but you can go more deeper and create your own services with defining classes deriving from Baz helper and some other instance, and you will have some lines that are documented in the UDK project. You will have all the documentation available on the website. It's quite simple to have this. But as I told you, Pyuno is actually in stall mode. It works, but it could go deeper and do better things. We have version 2.3.5. So following Python versions would be great. So we need some people that maybe will help us to integrate at every release the new Python version. Especially as I told you for doc test, we have to copy modules from Python 2.4 and to, so mixing things up, that's not very clean. So if we could provide to users, OpenOffice.org users, versions that are not too old, it would be great. We need an editor, or at least a binding to an editor that allow you to have some communication, do some work, because, okay, I'm in here my file, I have to copy it and verify it's okay, and then launch. That's too difficult, and people won't use Python as internal for macro writing until we have an editor. We need some work on enhancing the add-on management. There is a problem that is you can register by UNO packages or as an add-on Python kernel only one file in the add-on. So the trick is to put all the code in one file, all the classes and so on, but that's not the Python way. So trying to solve this problem would be quite nice, because would help to create big application. And we need that people use Pyuno, because it's great, and provide more and more extensions to have some references that help. So Paolo had done a lot of work. I tried to point you some example of code. There is a wiki where things are being written, so if you have experience, even if you discover and you want to tell us, I had this trap and I fall in, and here is how I managed to have my things working. It's okay, it's a wiki. Come and give us information, so it will be enriched, and we need more helpers and more the documentation and feedback on these extensions in Python. So scripting can be used for your daily business programs on helpers. For people that do not want to commit in Java or C++ programming, they can do a lot of things that is available, because the API is available with a simple language, but some are powerful. So a lot of tools and documentation is available, perhaps not that easy to find, but we are working on it. So ask, and we will fix the visibility with your questions, with your feedback. So the extensions project and scripting framework are here to help you starting. So read some pages that are here, and contribute your tools, your extensions. There will soon be a repository where we will be able to upload and propose your free extensions. Contribute. Feel free to drop an email at dev@extensions.openfi.org, and we'll be quite happy to help you starting. And for people that are interested in what's going with extensions, what possibilities, more using Java, but the overall framework too, there are two sessions, two presentations tomorrow from Jürgen Schmidt and Cedric Bozana for more technical things. Thank you. Do you have any questions? I will be outside, so if people have questions, they can ask them by mailing me. Okay. Thank you.